And starting North Shore Sports Night, we are starting. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be with us later on this evening. Our basketball insider, Mike Grenier, not available tonight. He's on assignment with some very important family members, and we appreciate that. We'll talk with Mike next week about the NBA Finals and the debacle of the Celtics, probably. Now, I don't know who would be calling me at this time of night, but they're going to have to just wait. So, there we go. Tim Kearns is with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, Rick.
Good.
Good.
It's,
It'd be better if all the Boston teams were winning, but that's part of sports.
Well, you know what? The Celtics and the Bruins gave us a lot of fun this year, and I don't want to go all negative on that. I think we will talk next week, you and I, with Mike, particularly about Jaylen Brown, because I think there is a real controversy brewing there.
Yeah, everybody's coming up with all kinds of potential trades involving him, so we're just going to have to, sort the wheat from the chaff and wait till they actually, the Celtics, that is, the front office, decides to make a plan and execute it. But other than that, everybody's just, throwing something on the wall and seeing if anything sticks.
Yeah. I did read in the Globe about Danny Ainge's comments with Dan Shaughnessy about Joe Mazzulla and Brad Stevens. And Ainge gave them good grades. And he said, they're going to figure it out. You do have to realize Mazzulla's a rookie coach. And so he made some rookie mistakes. And so, I mean, that's to be expected. I don't think you can throw that lousy seventh game all on him.
Oh, no. You led the team to the second best record in the NBA for most of the year. They had the best record in the NBA, and then they had some bobbles towards the final few weeks of the season. But that's to be expected. You expend a lot of energy, and all of a sudden, you take some teams for granted, and they sneak up on you. But overall, the second best record in the league is nothing to sneeze at. Especially for a guy who walked into the situation that he did, he kept the team together, he kept them focused, and made the best of what was a very bad situation.
Tim, that's a great point. That's a great point that I think people forget, is that a lot of these Celtics were extremely loyal to Ime Udoka. And here is Mazzulla taking over the reins and telling them what to do. And you're right, Coach. He did put together a pretty damn good season, and they went deep into the playoffs. So I don't have any complaint about that. Disappointing, yeah, but look where Miami is right now.
God, I know another upset win last night against a Denver, and they're kind of making a mockery out of everybody's pools or bets, and making other people a lot of money by the way they played in this postseason, and Jimmy Butler seems to have been totally reborn into this postseason. Everybody knew the quality of ball player that he has been in the past, but everybody was kind of putting that behind him. It's good to see an upstart in the finals and doing well. Kind of like you go to the NHL finals and you got the Las Vegas Knights, coached by the former Bruins coach, Bruce Cassidy, and the Bruins players didn't like him. They went to the front office about him, and so they dumped him. They brought in Jim McGovern. And, McGovern does a great job of leading the team, best record in the league and all of that, but who's in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I know. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, but that's okay. All right, a couple of scores tonight, and I want to ask Coach Kearns about this time of year. But in girls lacrosse action tonight, is it Monomy? M-O-N-O-M-Y, or Monomy? Monomy 8,
yeah.
Linfield 5. Where's Monomy, Coach?
I think it's on the other side of Boston.
I think it's on the other side of the planet. But anyway, all right, so Monomy 8, Linfield 5. This is girls lacrosse. Ipswich continues to roll. Allison Tivnan's team, 17, Belchertown 2 in the opening round of their playoff. Ashton Flather, a spectacular player, along with her twin sister at Ipswich High School, 9 saves in goal for Ipswich High School. In boys lacrosse, Newburyport opens up with a big win over Ashland, 10-4. Pentucket, 19. Lennox, 2. Winthrop, 13. Tingsboro, 8. And Walpole, 10. Masco, 6. So most of the teams are winning tonight from the North Shore. In baseball, the Preps, 9 and Braintree 1 and Newburyport over Hanover 3-2. So a lot of good news coming out of the MIAA playoffs right now. And Tim, I want to ask you about that because you coach baseball, and baseball is, I think, very difficult to coach in the Northeast for a couple of reasons. Number one is the weather. Number two is that you come up against, as the other spring sports do, the distractions of final exams, a prom night, graduation, etc., going to work. Tell me about some of your experience, Tim, that you remember that's good stuff with your kids who maybe were able to navigate all of that. You know, you go through the whole thing coming into spring, going into the tournament, and were able to enjoy themselves for that stuff, but also concentrate on baseball.
Well, let me tell my own experience first, Rick. My senior year playing at Dom Savio, the coach scheduled the game for 10 o'clock the next morning after the senior prom.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Not one senior missed the game.
Yeah, I got you.
What are you doing to us? And it was my turn on the rotation to start. Oh, Lord, what was he doing?
So I hope you remember that when you coached the Fishermen.
Oh, yeah. There were no games after the after the front. It's tough. You know, you're the last season, and you're waiting for spring to arrive, and inevitably you get a snowstorm somewhere second or third week of your tryouts, and you get stuck indoors, and it's the last thing you want to be, and you know you're fighting for the time slots with the other teams that are forced inside. You know, it's like everybody on one field, and you've got basically 4.5 hours to get everybody in and out of the building. It's crazy. And then, like you mentioned, there are kids that work in the off season, and all of a sudden baseball comes around, and well, geez, you know, I still got to work. And I go, well, you got to make a decision, you know, because you need to be here every day to work with the team. It's not fair for you to go and work and then show up for a game and expect to play. So you're going to have to make a call. And it does become tough because there are families where they rely on the kids to go and work. Again, my situation, I was very lucky. My dad always said, you need a couple of dollars to go out with your buddies, I'll give it to you. You know, you focus on your school and you focus on your baseball. So I was very lucky with that, but not everybody is that fortunate. And as the season goes on, you know, you've got the spring break you've got to deal with, and kids go away, and oops, and sometimes they go away, you know, when school is in session because that's the best time for the best deal, and that happened to me my first year of coaching. One of my three seniors decided to go south, and it cost him three games that he missed while he was away, and the rule was if you go away, you miss as many games when you get back as when you were away. So I had one of my top seniors, a returning Northeast Conference All-Star, miss the first six games of the season. And that hurt us because he was a key component to that team and had been even the year before when they had a very successful season. And so you run into that. The kids are going away. And then they want to go away during April vacation. And it's like, you know, and you have two or three games lined up during the April vacation as well. And it's not like the old days where, you know, you make a commitment to the team and everything else takes a back seat. You know, and my parents went away to Canada when I was playing Bayreuth baseball. I stayed at a neighbor's house across the street. My father had no idea that I was, my father had no intention of taking me to Canada. You signed up to play baseball, you're playing baseball. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I had no problem with that. But it's the commitment that you make. And sometimes you don't get to do the things you want to do that you really like to do because you make these other commitments. And there aren't as many kids today that want to make that commitment. Yeah, they want to be on the team, and they want to wear the uniform, and they want their friends to come down and talk to them at the fence. And, you know, but okay, I need you here. Well, no, geez, I'm going to be away. Geez, I got to work. Okay, well, don't expect a whole lot of playing time when you come back, you know, because there are other kids that wait to play and they're here every day and they deserve the shot. And so you run into that, and then you run into the parents, and you run into the administration saying, you've got to play these guys. Well, you know, they're not practicing. They're not here. They've made an optional decision to go elsewhere. You know, it's the hardest thing of coaching. It's not the X's and the O's. It's not the teaching of the skills. It's getting everybody to make the same level of commitment and to be part of the team and commit to the team. And, you know, things that I went through are things that every coach went through and still goes through, you know, as you run into the season. As you get later into the season, you know, you've got, and schools get out at different points. You got to run into exams, so the kids have to study, so you don't want to keep them too late for practice. And then you've got the seniors' prom. And then earlier that, you may have the junior prom during your season. And so kids are bugging out for that. And then they don't want to play the next day, which was not good. I would never do that to the team. But everybody just seems to have an excuse in it, and it drives you wacky, Rick. It really does. And those who truly commit are those the kids that really get the most out of it, that really add the most to your program success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's complicated. I get that. And that's why you high school coaches made all the big bucks.
I know coaches who did, but I was really envious of them.
I don't know any coaches who made big bucks, but there you go. All right, we're going to take a break, and our first guest tonight is Gardy O'Flynn, who is the Ipswich girls tennis coach, and they're doing off to a great start in the tournament. We'll talk with Coach O'Flynn. We've talked with him many times in the past before, and of course, Coach Kearns, Coach O'Flynn have they go way back. Also, talk with Tawny Palmieri later on. At the bottom of the hour, she is the Peabody girls softball coach, and they have had an absolutely spectacular season. Their game was postponed from today. They will be playing tomorrow, and they're ranked number 5 in D1 softball. Big game coming up tomorrow, and we'll talk with Coach Palmieri about that as well. So we'll take our break. We'll come back, and if I push all the right buttons here, we'll be okay as we continue here on North Shore Sports Night. We will be back, so please stay with us.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Editor at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore. MSONewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore. A real local news and sports podcast giving you updates from around Essex County. Spotlight feature interviews with area newsmakers. The North Shore Today Post features community updates and local photos and useful links. This is the place to hear and see positive local coverage, making the connections that support the North Shore community.
All right, we're back now with the great Gardy O'Flynn from Ipswich High School coaching girls tennis right now. And, Coach, welcome back. I know that you and Coach Kearns go back a little bit. But let me get started with a general question here with tennis. I'm looking at the D4 tennis rankings right now. And gosh, there are four or five teams from the Cape Ann League ranked all the way down to number from 1 to 11. So a very competitive league for you guys.
Yeah, it's probably the best league around from top to bottom. I mean, Masco is a tremendous team and one of the best teams around, and we all know Masco's origins is from the Cape Ann League.
Mm-hmm.
But with Hamilton Wenham, Linfield, Manchester in Division IV girls tennis, and then you have Newburyport, who's the favorite to win Division III. You know, there's some quality opponents we face week in and week out.
Well, we're going to talk about your team and your girls and the tournament, but I'm going to give you over to Mr. Kearns first and let him talk to you for a while.
Sure.
Okay. You know, guys, thinking about it, we go all the way back to when I first started coaching 20-plus years ago, and we used to always arrange a springtime scrimmage and to get the kids ready to go out there. That was always fun. And then it extended into Bill Love's Beverly Baseball Clinic.
Yep. Many a Sunday morning.
many a Sunday morning. That is for sure. One of the factors I think that lends to the dominance of the Cape Ann League is the fact that we're situated the towns have a history of tennis being part of the summertime athletic activity from the parents, and it comes down to the kids. And a lot of people would say, well, there's a wealth thing in there too, because tennis can be very expensive, a lot of indoor practice time and things like that. But that whole Cape Ann area, you run right up Route 1A, and it's just one dominant team after another. And there's great pride that's taken by those teams and the schools in that community to continue to produce quality tennis teams year after year.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I mean, that's, you know, with the Manchester Athletic Club, Bass River, there's so many local clubs. But you know what's unique about our team? We're a little bit different. Besides my daughter, who has some experience playing when she was younger at the MAC, my son is a Division I college tennis player at Holy Cross and has had a great career there. My daughter did it for a while, but then, like all Ipswichites tend to do, they get involved in the team sports, which is great in a small community. So she's been part of two state championship volleyball teams. What makes our team different is we have athletes that play tennis. So we have a bunch of volleyball players, a bunch of different athletes that play other sports, but I teach them in gym class, and they've transferred their talents over to tennis, and they've picked it up quickly.
You know, funny you should mention that, because just last week, several of us at Glass High, we were having a conversation, and it went right along that line that the tennis coach, actually, how's the tennis team gotten that good? I mean, the boys' tennis team had a tremendous season this year.
Mm-hmm.
The coach gets the athletes, and he convinces them to pick up the tennis racket and try it. And they're like,
yeah, that's exactly it. And I look at my top two players, Claire Bellezza, Claire Bellezza is our number one player. She's a tremendous sophomore volleyball player. I mean, she's an outside hitter. She moves on the court. Just a really good athlete. And our number two player is a freshman all-league field hockey goalie who plays in all these national tournaments, Abby Allen, who they just compete. And then my daughter's our number three, and you know, she's part of the state championship volleyball team. So we throw athletes out there that we hit a ton of tennis balls. We use two ball machines at every practice, and they just are getting better and better, and I think we're playing our best tennis now.
Coach, you don't have very many seniors on the team. As you just mentioned, your top players are underclassmen. But tell me about your captains, please.
Yeah, Baylen Curtis and Maggie McCormick have been tremendous. Baylen's been pretty sick the last week. They're our doubles, our second doubles team usually. She's coming off a sickness during her graduation. She just hasn't been feeling well. She was at practice today, but she's not quite clear to play doubles yet. If we win tomorrow, we'll look at the future matchup, versus Linfield, where we'll see if she can get back in there. But Maggie McCormick and her have been, tremendous participants. For 3 years, remember you guys, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there was no tennis. There was no spring sports because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So these girls missed their freshman year, which is unfortunate.
Now, Gary, let's just take it back. Why did you jump from baseball to tennis? Was it your daughter was coming up?
Yeah, my daughter was coming up, but I also, you know, I run my baseball business with Tom House, and it got to a point where I was training so many players from the area that it was, I would say, a little bit of a conflict of interest when you're coaching up against, you know, the top pitchers from Hamilton and other towns. When you coach them in the off season, I started to feel uncomfortable. You know, with that, like, you know, that's part of my business. And I've always loved tennis, and we have a great athletic director in Ipswich, and Tom Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
And when that job opened up, you know, I jumped on it, and I knew my daughter played, and my son had a great, both my sons had great tennis careers at for the boys, but I have the opportunity to coach my daughter, which is great. But I plan on staying longer after she's gone.
Coach, tell me about your season. You are ranked number, what is it, number, where am I? Number 11 in D4. And you got a big game coming up tomorrow against number 6, Mount Greylock, wherever the heck Williamstown is. But tell me about your team, Coach. You're 7-7 now with an opening win in the tournament and a very tough schedule, accordingly, I would presume.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've won every match we could have won, and every match we should have lost, we lost. But again, so the Hamilton Wenham team is a superior team. Well coached from 1-7 there, tremendous. I really expect them to run the table in Division 4. We've played the Linfields and the Manchesters a lot closer, even though we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, know them and know we'd go in as an underdog if we were to get through Mount Greylock. But we know we can compete with them and battle in more of the matches than we've shown so far against, you know, the Hamilton Wenham squad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good. How does the tournament set up? You don't play your entire team as you would during a regular tournament. Do you just have, you go at number one, number two, and just doubles number one and number two?
Yeah, so what happens is in the Cape Ann League, we do a great job of getting a lot of girls involved in extra matches. So I've got probably 16 or 17 girls that practice with me every day, but only 7 are considered varsity, the 3 singles players and then the top 2 doubles teams. And out of those 5 matches, you win 3, we win the team match overall. But one thing that we have on our team is we have very good depth. Like my 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 players can play tennis well. They're just not as well as my second doubles or my first doubles. So, even with Baylen being out and we've had some injuries during the year as we've gone on, we've had players fill that role. So, unfortunately, only 7 get to play, but I wish it was something where we could get, you know, 12 or 13 in, but I know not everybody has 6 beautiful courts like we do at Ipswich.
So Coach,
we can hop on.
playing tennis and playing baseball in the springtime. I think this is why our New England athletes are so hardy. It's amazing. And softball as well. Lacrosse, not so much, because you're out there just banging away, but you know, physically. But baseball, softball, you stand around a lot in the cold and the wind. And in tennis, how does it work with the wind guard? Are there techniques that your players can use to combat the wind, whether it's behind you or on the lateral, on the side to you? How do you coach that?
That's a great point. I think it's just through repetition and practicing outside in these extreme conditions. We have a really windy area, and we have a windscreen that protects some of the courts, but it doesn't really protect it with the wind we get. I think I just one thing I coach the players a lot on is being aware of what the wind is doing and where you got to aim, and don't one expression we use, we have a lot of little expressions, but be stronger than your excuses. It's the same for both players, right? We switch ends of the court every odd total game, so we're both experiencing the same thing, therefore there can be no excuse. So if it was like only windy to us and not to the opponent, then you'd have a gripe. So I try to teach them those. You know, Timmy, you're from Gloucester. You know, you saw the wind up there. You're definitely used to the wind. You know, you can't. You have to try to make them mentally tough. And Rick, you brought up a great point. You know, we're playing in this extreme wind. We look at our match on Thursday. It's 93 degrees, and hot as can be. And then we're out there. You know, today it's 60 degrees, 58, 60, you know, and windy and wet.
Yeah, and the wind chill's below zero.
I know. So you don't know what you're going to get. But, I think it just brings a mentality of, like, even in that really hot weather, versus a good Rockport team, a team that is competitive, you know, our girls really, didn't wilter in the sun.
Tim, some final thoughts.
I'm going to take you a little afield. What's your evaluation of the Red Sox real quick, Gardy?
Well, I knew that Sale was destined to get hurt when he was pitching 110 and 111 pitches coming off Tommy John. I'm like, mid-June was my timeline where he'd go down with something. I don't know what they were thinking, over-pitching him just because he was feeling good early. But I think they're in trouble. I think, the mistakes that they make as a team, it's unfortunate, and the division is so strong. I mean, I'm expecting them, to probably hit a tough skid. And, I think by the All-Star break, you know, obviously I'm rooting for them, but I think just the way their team is shaping up with these injuries and just their overall lack of defense and execution, you know, I have a feeling come All-Star break, they might not even have Sale come back this year.
Woo. Well, all right. Coach, tomorrow, you're heading to Williamstown. The bus leaves at noon, I guess. Where the heck is Williamstown?
Well, we're playing at Williams College.
Okay.
Which is beautiful, which is a NESCAC school. So we're going to be playing on really, really nice courts.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the weather will hold up. That's another story. But, it's out in Western Mass. It's a good 3-plus-hour drive. We'll be ready to play. I've read up a lot about them. I'm expecting a really tough team. We're going to give it a shot, and we're going to really, you know, try to represent not only Ipswich like we always do, but the North Shore and the Cape Ann League. Because we take great pride in, the heavy competition we play, and we want to, represent, the league well.
Hey, you know, I have a final question for both of you guys, and I'll start with you, Tim. You guys, to say that you're veterans, I think, would probably be an understatement, but like Bill Newell and I, and so many of our contemporaries like Mike Grenier, we've been doing this for decades, and yet we still feel like kids inside. And Tim and Gardy, I think you both reflect that. Tim, I know you agree on that.
Oh, yeah. You know, even when you're not coaching anymore, you're looking for the dates when the high school season is going to start. You're watching the weather forecast, and you're thinking, oh God, I remember this, you know, and looking forward to getting outside as soon as possible, talking to the other coaches, going to the coaches' meetings, getting the schedules all straightened out. There's just a lot of things that go on in getting your season ready. And Gardy, I know you go through the same thing with the tennis coaches and the tennis schedule and the preparations and all. And I'm sure you even keep one eye, you know, set of scans for the baseball goings on. So clearly, you never let go of it, Rick.
Oh no, that's what makes it great being you know, an American, you know, and being able to be involved in community. And what you guys do such a great job is you bring it all together. And I listen to you guys and follow you guys all the time. And, you know, I still, you know, I got to read it online, the Salem Evening News, but I still get my hard copy. you know, it's what makes this area of the country great. It's even though, you know, technology has moved in, you know, kids are still kids and competition, especially with young athletes when it's, you know, it's life or death for these kids. I mean, this is their big leagues. A lot of these kids, this is the end of the road. And, you know, just to have an opportunity to be involved in it and to try to teach them how to compete and be competitive, and that's okay. It's okay to care, and it's okay to, you know, that people, like, follow you and want to, like, know how you did. So it's you guys are the people that bring it all together. But, you know, I just try to facilitate it in the small town of Ipswich.
Well, we got to do this more often, Gardy. We need your expertise, and we'd hope we can invite you on, not necessarily just to, as the Ipswich coach, but just to talk sports in general.
Oh, anytime. Well, I'm listening on the other end.
That's great.
I appreciate you guys.
Oh, thanks so much, Coach, and good luck. Let's do it again as soon as you guys continue winning.
Yeah, I hope I send you a good email with the scores tomorrow.
Amen, amen. Thanks, Gardy. Appreciate it.
All right, take care, Tim and Rick. Thank you.
Thanks, Gardy.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. That's Gardy O'Flynn, who is the Ipswich girls tennis coach, and it seems kind of strange that we haven't had him on more often, Tim. We got to correct that.
Yeah, and you know, Gardy played in the I believe it was the Yankee farm system.
So, all right, so we gotta tap his expertise. I'm looking forward to doing that, you know, when the season is over and going into the summertime. So I'm just making a note here to, okay, there it is. All right, we're gonna take a break. It's gonna be a little bit, a couple of minutes of a break here, then we'll come back with Tawny Palmieri, who is the Peabody High School girls softball coach. And, this is MSO News Sports. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Don't forget we have the Sports Writers podcast that drops around 8 o'clock every Tuesday morning with the Salem News Sports Writers plus the Gloucester Times Sports Editor. And also want to mention, Tim, the Moynihan Student Athlete Program's Player of the Year, Players of the Year will be announced, I believe, tomorrow. So we look forward to getting that information as the Moynihan Student Athlete Program has been tremendous for over 30 years. Supporting some great things. And from what we understand, Mike Lynch is going to get a special award too. So we should have a report on that for you, tomorrow. Alright, so let's take a break and we'll come back with Tawny Palmieri. This is, MSO News Sports and this is North Shore Sports Night. Had one more thing to mention. Oh yeah, Bill Newell coming along in the next half hour as well with many scores from tonight's MIAA tournament action. So we'll be right back. This is MSO News Sports and this is North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacy, Executive Sports Editor at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with Tony Pell.
Anyway.
We're back with Tony Palmieri, who is the Peabody High School girls softball coach. And coach, ranked, you are number five in D1 at 17-1, an incredible record. You have the most valuable player on the North Shore at the Northeastern Conference. Why was today's game postponed?
The rain over the weekend really killed our home field. For some reason, the field just couldn't take it. It was actually the worst field in the city today. So,
oh my!
We had to postpone it, although we didn't really want to. But.
Well, you know, you could have called Mark Betancourt. Maybe he could get the National Guard helicopters to dry the field off.
Yeah, you think Mark would have pulled some strings for us, right?
Yes, yes, and you know, you got to tell me, and I want to bring Tim in here, but you have to tell me about Abby Betancourt, because she's been so spectacular, you know, and you have put together so many great teams over the years. But tell me a little bit about maybe her personality and her style of play.
Sure, Abby has been hands down one of the best players I've ever coached, but not only athletically, just as a person and as a like a coachable player. She's very, very good. Clearly, her stats show for themselves, but. Just to have that kid that you can, like, she's not afraid to listen to me and buy into what the whole coaching staff says, and try it. And, you know, if we try to correct something on her, she takes it. That's huge, to have a player that good that's willing to, you know, adapt or change something that you may think might work better for the team. So I can't say enough about Abby, to be honest with you. She's an unbelievable player in person as well.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
You know, Coach, it's nice to have the kind of family lineage that Abby has.
Yes.
You go anywhere around the North Shore and you go Betancourt and they go Peabody. And it just goes all the way back to Davey. And I grew up playing baseball with Davey and John Tudor on the North Shore in the 70s. And but even his Davey dad was a really good athlete, I hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The members of the family.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, the sisters are just as good. It's unbelievable. I mean, like you said, the Betancourts, they're not only good, again, physically, but the mental and the mindset that they have as athletes.
Yes.
Like, that to me is few and far between nowadays. So I'd take that mindset all day work with that.
You know, I don't know, really, Davey's probably an uncle to Abby, but I'll tell you, Davey wasn't physically a tall guy, but I'll tell you, he was as tough as any baseball player around, if not tougher.
Yes, I actually played for Davey Betancourt when I was growing up, and he was on his AAU team, and he made me mentally just one of the toughest people on the field at all times.
Tony, when I first started teaching, Tony, my very first year, I had both the principal's son and the assistant principal's son in the same class in math. And you talk about a little intimidation, but what I found out was they were very supportive. And Peabody, I know that over the years you've had some great coaches in Peabody from top to bottom, and you have that tremendous support system at the high school. I want to ask you about your defense, because what did that Central Catholic game mean? Because they're the only team that hit double figures on you. You have something like 7 shutouts, 8 other games where you've allowed two runs or fewer. Tell me about your defense and then what your team learned from that Central Catholic game.
Sure. That was our second game of the season. Not making excuses for anybody, but just so you guys know the background, we showed up 10 minutes after the game was supposed to start. So our bus was 45 minutes late picking us up, and then once we got there, the umpires were not very happy with us being as late as we were. They gave us 10 minutes to warm up, and, you know, we were still figuring things out with our lineup and everything. Abby did not start pitching that game. Actually, Abby didn't pitch at all that game. So we split between Avery Greco and Jalen Emerson. And, you know, we just had an off game for us, I think. Even with those two pitchers, who are much better than that game shows, defensively, we got a ton of balls hit at us. You know, we hadn't had that opportunity yet all season to see stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't have our bats going at all yet. You know, same thing. I think we were still figuring things out, and I think it was actually a great experience for us to lose a game like that against this team.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Well, one of the things, too, Tony, is that you lose a game like that early in the season to a team like Central Catholic. You know, they were probably ranked number one at that time as well. And it just sort of puts the fire in your belly at that real early point in the season where you don't like the taste of that losing. You know, you didn't get a fair shake from the umpires, and that just sort of fuels your level of preparation. You know, next time we get off the bus, no matter what time it is, we're going to be ready to play right off. We can walk out of the bus, and we're going to be able to play. So
losing
a game like that, you know, is better early in the season than later in the season. Sometimes they say, well, you're rolling around undefeated. It's good to lose late in the season because it makes you hungry again. But it also works, like I said, in the opposite way. You lose to a team like that, and you know you can play with them, but they kind of stack the deck against you. And that just makes you mad, and you play with that mad, you know, that little chip the rest of the season.
Yes, definitely. I see it in these kids already. They're hungry to see that team again, and, you know, we got to take it one game at a time here through these tournament games. Obviously, you know, you can't take anybody lightly, but we're definitely hungry to get to them. And Taunton again, Wachusett gave us a great game last year. Like you said, I think it did light a fire in us, and we don't want to lose ever again.
Coach, finally, you've got now your game is going to be played tomorrow at home?
Yes, tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock. All right. Now, it's Medford. They're 15-6, but they're ranked or seated way down at 37. So what do you know about them?
Yeah, it's Milford tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Medford.
That's okay. That's all right. It's good now the way they do it, Rick, because of the power rankings. And
yep.
If you actually go on the website, you can see now who they've played, what the score has been. So it's unbelievable the way they set it up, to be honest with you. It makes it very easy to you know, look at what you're facing and prepare for that. So it's great.
All right. And your team... going into tomorrow, I'm knocking on wood here as I say this, healthy?
Yes. you know, you always have your little tweaks or you know, raspberries from sliding or whatever it may be. But as far as healthy can go, we're good to go.
All right. Coach Tim, last question.
I just want to wish you the best of luck and, you know, just keep bringing it home. I know you're going to have, if you have 40 fans in the stands, 39 of them are
going
to have the name Benton to it.
Jeez.
I know. You're right. But they earn their spots, that's for sure. you know.
Coach, you've had a spectacular career so far, spectacular season. Keep it going, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
We're going to bug you again. Thanks, Tony.
All right, thanks.
Be well. All right, that's Tony Palmieri, who was the coach at the Peabody High School, coaching the girls softball team. She's been a spectacular coach over there with or without Betancourt's. But with Betancourt's, it probably, makes it easy on one hand, maybe a little tougher on the other because all the eyes are upon you. But, they are rated, seated number 5 in Division 1 with a record of 17-1. Central Catholic is 19-1, and they will be playing, and I misspoke that I said Medford, but Medford, lost to Milford. They'll be playing Milford with a record of 8-13, and Milford is seated at number 28 in D1. So we're going to take another break, a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Bill Newell, who's going to catch us up a little bit on the scores of the evening, and Tim and I will bat that around too. So please stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
All right, we're back now with Bill Newell, who has been at Scoreboard Central here. And Bill, I'm having trouble just keeping up with who's playing who tonight, and I screwed up the Peabody matchup for tomorrow. I kept saying they're playing Medford, they're playing Milford. So I don't know how you're doing it, but how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine.
All right.
But I'm doing fine. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So where do we start tonight, Bill?
All right, hold on. I was just getting my switching to my other piece of iPad equipment here.
I got gotcha.
Yeah, we have a ton of scores here.
So okay.
Can you hear me okay here?
Yep, we're good.
Okay, so here we go. Baseball, let's start right there. D1, St. John's Preppy, Braintree, 9-1. I was following Phil Stacey's tweets earlier today, and St. John's gave up, committed 3 infield errors in the first inning. Braintree took a 1-0 lead. But then the final score was St. John's over Braintree 9-1. We had Coach Dan Letard on earlier today. Actually, we talked to him yesterday. And Braintree is one of those teams, one of those old Super 8 teams you might remember.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good program. They're not necessarily a top 10 team. I think they were ranked number 23 or something coming into the tournament. But anyway, solid team. Sophomore pitcher gets the win for the prep. Beverly's playing tonight. No final there. English is playing tonight. Into D2, Masco shut out Woburn 2-0. D2, Holliston over Salem 3-1. D2, Marblehead wins on the road at Hopkinton 8-4. Nice win for Marblehead there. Archbishop Williams beat Linfield in D3. Also in D3, Fenwick was taken down by Fairhaven. Newburyport pulls off a 3-2 win over Hanover. Triton loses to Pittsfield 9-3. Hamilton won up top Ipswich big 15-1. That game played over at Endicott today. And Seacott over Manchester Essex 8-0. And one other boys score in D5, Georgetown over South Shore Volk 12-0. Nice win there for the Royals. So that's baseball today. Softball, some postponements. As you mentioned, the Peabody Milford game was postponed. Whatever, you know.
Yeah. They'll play tomorrow.
Yeah. It was supposed to be playing same time, same place tomorrow. D1, that was a D1 game. Lincoln Sudbury beat Classical 7-2 today. St. Mary's also postponed today. They were playing Sturgis Charter East, if you will, over in Lynn. Newburyport at home postponed. Linfield, here's a good one for you. Linfield beat Notre Dame. This is a team that just barely made it into the postseason, Linfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Notre Dame on the road today 4-3. So I think that's their second tournament win. Manchester Essex fell to Clinton in D4. Boys lacrosse got some finals just in. Barnstable, are you there?
Yep. Where?
Okay. Boy, I guess my other phone line, someone's ringing here, but Barnstable beat Peabody 10-2 today in boys lacrosse. Beverly is at Hingham tonight. Walpole over Masconomet 10-6. Newburyport beat Ashland 10-4. Pentucket throttled Lennox 19-2. Throttled, how do you like that
one? Oh, good, nice. Pull that one out.
Well, when I think of Tim Kearns, I came up with the term throttle. There you go.
Thanks, Bill.
Waiting for the reaction there. Bedford over Essex Tech 18-4. Boys lacrosse. Wayland over Triton 8-6. Winthrop beat Kingsboro 13-8. Manchester Essex over Bourne 17-6. Hornets await the winner of the Linfield-Hamilton-Wenham game. By the way, that game, halftime score, Hamilton-Wenham was leading, Linfield was leading Hamilton-Wenham 9-2. So Hamilton-Wenham looks, Linfield looks to be on their way to win that one. Not a final though. And finally, let's roll through girls lacrosse. We got some finals. Westwood over Peabody 20-6. Westwood over Beverly 20-6. Weymouth over Peabody 17-3. Getting a bit ahead of myself. I don't have a final on the Danvers-Duxbury game. And let's see here. Pembroke 17-4.
Mm.
Swampscott beat Dedham 17-5. Again, more girls lacrosse. Essex Tech over Gloucester Big today 18-6. Newburyport over Auburn 22-1. Let's see here. Ipswich beat Belchertown, Upper Cape, 17-2. And that's what I have for girls lacrosse. I have a couple of tennis scores. The Prep beat the Zavarian in D1, 5-0. And where's that other Swampscott score here? Masco in girls tennis beat Marblehead 5-0. I guess I don't have that Swampscott score. Maybe they're not. Yeah. I think I had the Swampscott Whalen score. Maybe I didn't put it into save. I don't have my draft thing here. But anyways, that's quite a few scores.
Yeah, that's
for Monday night, huh?
A very comprehensive scoreboard, man. This is like Al Needham pulling it out of the Boston Globe on a Tuesday morning. Pretty impressive. No, but seriously, Bill, I don't have obviously all the stuff in front of me, but as you were going through those, a lot of local teams on the North Shore were winning, and a lot of teams were seeded higher. So it looks like maybe the upper seeds are moving on in general.
Yeah. A little shout out to the Lynn Englishside baseball team. They went on the road and won yesterday. What was I going to say? And the Marblehead, as we mentioned, that was who went through the scores earlier. Marblehead with a road win today, so nice win, nice job for Mike Giardi and the Magicians. Seems like there was one other. Yeah, and the Prep baseball team. You listen to Coach Dan Letarte. They're a team that's come on strong in the last 10 games. And St. Mary's. Let's see, St. Mary's is one. They had a big walk-off win this week. We're going to try to check in with Coach Derek Dana tomorrow to get an interview up with him. They will probably not play tomorrow. They'll probably play the next day because they're playing the winner of another game that's being played this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Bill, off topic a little bit. Maybe Tim can join in on this. You talked with Mike Lynch recently, and we all know that he's been, rehabbing from a stroke a while back. And he has been teaming up with Bob Lobel on a sports podcast.
Yeah, they've been doing it now for a while now, and we're going to try to pick that up, I think. So take a look for that in another day or two. Mike and Bob are the quintessential sports observers, if you will, reporters from the last 30, 40 years, I think, in the greater Boston area, and they have some great insights. And they've been doing a lot of guests too. So, I think it should be interesting. And I know they had Joe Ambrosino on last week. They've had Glenn Ordway on, Steve Bulpet, the former Celtics writer here from the North Shore. So, so it should be good. And, you know, I guess we all go a long ways back with those two in their reporting of, Boston sports, you know, back in the, maybe late 70s, at least looking at least say the 80s. How about that? First, very early 80s and on with those guys. So, wow. Yeah.
Yep, Bob Lobel. How come we can't get guys like that?
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, I think he has his, in the podcast, it's a video too. They have a, he has his panic button still in the back. The panic button.
Oh, that's cool.
I think the panic button would have gone off a few weeks ago on the Celtics, when they were down three games to none, and probably rightfully so, I guess, if it turned out. But, yeah. Yep, but Mike, just a quick, you mentioned the stroke. Mike spent a lot of time in Florida rehabbing, so he's got the walker thing going. He gets out on his own, but he liked it down there because he had beautiful weather, could get out, walk around on the level, you know, not so many hills as we might have around here. And but it worked out well for him, but he's back now in the, you know, back home here in the Boston area, yeah.
All right, Tim, I'm going to close it out with Bill.
Ah, Bill, so, we haven't had a chance to talk at all of late.
No.
And that probably made you very happy.
That's not true, Tim. That's definitely not true.
as he snickers while he says that.
I have to say that. I have to say that, though, yeah. Yeah.
No, because my wife's listening, and she'll be very upset with you otherwise.
If I'm not talking to you, Tim, it's only because she's talking to you. So I just don't want to interrupt you. Okay.
So what has been your overall take of the success of the North Shore sports spring season?
Oh man, I think, you know, you look at it. I think we. In the spring season, you know, big piece of it is the weather, and I think we had some pretty good weather, you know, for the spring, to be honest. Overall, big picture, you know, obviously it rained some days, but I think they, you know, teams can't complain about that, really, I don't think. And, you know, I think teams got their games in. I thought it went pretty smoothly for the most part. And now going into the postseason, I think you've got, you know, you got the power rankings, and, you know, I'm not seeing too many complaints about that. You know, I think you're going to get upset because the spring sports are a little bit different than other sports. I mean, you go baseball, soft, maybe not so much softball, but, you know, you got different pitchers going, different situations. Baseball teams can go on hot streaks. It's a little bit different than basketball or football or even hockey to some extent.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get upset. You know, more upsets. I think we've seen a few, obviously. But you never know, you know. But I can't. It's amazing, like Rick was mentioning all these games, and we were just, I'm sorting through all these games that we have listed on our scoreboard post, which is on the website, and it's enormous. And, you know, you go through it once, then you go through it again, and you find all these corrections you got to make, and then you got rain, and you got postponements, and, yeah, I think we did miss one, or one or two today, we missed a few more. But anyways, it's just enormous. But what happens is, when you think about it, you go, you get, you know, after today, you know, or yesterday and today, all the teams are cut in half, you know, so you're getting down there, and you'll get down there fast. It'll happen fast, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's funny, all the coverage that you've covered here, Bill. Yesterday I was talking to a coach or over the weekend, and it's just, I got so confused, and I had the coach coaching the wrong sport and the wrong gender, but the coach very, very politely corrected me and said it was okay. But I'm looking at, you look at these, there's thousands of teams here, and I applaud you for all the coverage tonight, Bill. Thank you.
Trying to get the gender thing right, Rick. That's what I'm trying. I am trying to do that.
It's the 21st century, Bill. It's confusing, but nevertheless,
it is. I think you're making it harder on yourself.
No question about it.
I mean, I know you're paying attention to the news and stuff, but and I'll be careful how I say this. But no. I, it's
Let's be careful. Yeah, for sure. And the one thing that stands out, that I'm so happy working with you guys is that, for the last X number of years, all three of us, and let's bring Marty Smith into this too, our main goal is to support what these, young men and young women are doing in the best possible light. And I think we've done that, and we're going to continue to do that. So I thank both of you guys.
Oh, you know what I wanted to do is, if I have one more, 30, 40 seconds or whatever, is Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes Student of the Year Award Luncheon is tomorrow, and mm-hmm. it's at the Salem Country Club. It's at noontime, and out of that will come two yearly winners for the athletes of the, chosen from the group of the athletes of the month during the athletic season. But I got to tell you that, you know, sometimes an old idea, and this being the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month Award, and it is an old idea. I think it goes back to the 80s, I guess, which has been around for so long. It's still a great idea because I'm telling you, the kids, every time one of these kids wins a monthly award, we interview them on the website. You can Google it. You can probably find it. But these kids are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're fun. They're articulate. They're incredible people. I've just had a great time talking to them all this year because they are special people. And we've talked to a bunch of other athletes this year. You know, we kind of reached out to try to see if we can check in and do some feature interviews with some kids that maybe weren't necessarily Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month, but could have been. These Moynihan athletes are really fantastic, athletes for sure. And people. And students.
Yeah, you know, I definitely want to echo my sentiments on that and all the kids that we've talked to throughout the years. And I go back to one of the first years we started doing the Monday Night Show. And we had the winter football players who were giving us a weekly update on what was going on. And there were two or three of the kids from the team, that we'd call up. And it was amazing how, comfortable they were, speaking with us and how mature they sounded, how well they represented themselves in Winthrop High School. It was a great credit to themselves, their families and their schools. And it's only continued over the years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I don't want to single any one or two out, so I won't do that. But like I said, they are, these are kids that, do so many different things in their school, say, you know, other than just athletics and academics, which are the two big things, but, they do more than that.
Yeah.
And,
well-rounded
individuals.
I like to tell people when Tim and I and you, when we talk to these kids, I like to tell people who are quick to disparage kids sometimes, when we talk to those young men and young women, I say, we're in good hands. They're going to save us from ourselves. So I agree with you 100%. And we'll see where it ends up tomorrow as the players of the student athletes of the year are named as well. So, Bill, scores up on the website, and we'll continue all this stuff tomorrow.
I guess so, Rick. I guess that's the way it works, huh?
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
I know. Although, I know. I know.
I just
hope you guys are staying dry tonight.
All right. All right. Thanks, Bill. Talk to you tomorrow.
You take care.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right.
See you, William.
Very good. A ton of scores. Those will be posted. If not already, they'll be up there momentarily. Tim, any final comments here or thoughts or whatever?
Enjoy the Red Sox game, Rick.
Oh, you're bad, man. You are bad. You know I'm recording it. Oh, that's just nasty. Okay, Tim. I'll text you after the game tonight.
Yeah, look, turns out, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Tim, thanks so much. Been a great night. Appreciate it.
All right, Rick. You take care.
All right. Be well. That's Tim Kearns, who is our ambassador of goodwill and our sports analyst extraordinaire. I'm Rick Moore. On behalf of Bill and Tim and Marty and Bill Poposky, have a very pleasant, safe, good evening. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.